Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, before we move on to today's show, I just want to say a special thank you to all of you for praying for my family, for me. You know, many of you have been walking with us through my brother-in-law's battle with pancreatic cancer. I want you to know that he moved on to glory this past weekend, and though we'll desperately miss him, we are so profoundly happy for him. You know, no more suffering, no more pain, only Jesus, joy, strength, and health. But it would sure mean the world to all of us if you'd keep my sister Chrissy and the kids in your prayers as they seek to rebuild their lives without their dear, precious Donnie. It has been a long, arduous 10 months. I'll be honest, we're all kind of worn out, but we're so grateful that we don't grieve as people without a hope. And I wonder what people do who have no hope. How do you deal with such long journeys through the valley of the shadow without a sense of God's nearness? So grateful for that and grateful for you. So thank you so very much. Well, I'm thrilled and honored today to talk with an amazing man of God, Chaplain John Morris. In fact, I said on Facebook today that every once in a while you meet somebody and you just know you're in the presence of someone with depth and wisdom and strength, and you want to make sure not to miss anything that they say. Every time I've talked to Chaplain John Morris, I have felt that way. We're going to talk about what it is to serve in the military, some of the challenges of the families and our service people, what they deal with, how we can pray for our country, what we can do to help our military families. Looking forward to this conversation with Chaplain John Morris. And then second hour, you'll hear my conversation with John Eldridge. We'll talk about the power of prayer. And I'm telling you, he's got some things to say about prayer that'll bring a fresh perspective to your own prayer life. So I pray you can stay tuned for both hours. I feel like we've got a double header today. Quick announcement before I get my first hour guest on. On Sunday, July 10th, which is just around the bend, Christians are gathering in their churches, in their life groups, with their families for a moment of focused prayer. And the National Association of Evangelicals is hoping and praying to have 1 million of us praying on Sunday, July 10th. Would you join the ranks of people who bow their knee before the Lord and asks for mercy, appeals to God in heaven? Boy, we need his intervention. He is our only hope. If you're interested for more information, you'll find it at NAE.net. That stands for the National Association of Evangelicals. NAE.net. Sign up, and we pray that you'll commit to joining with believers across the country, asking the Lord Jesus to reset our nation. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Chaplain John Morris has served as state chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard, as well as the staff chaplain for the Army National Guard. He's the co-creator of the Minnesota Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program for returning combat veterans and their families. Chaplain Morris and his wife, Kathy, have been married since 1979. Together, they've raised 3 daughters, and he currently serves as the Garrison Command Chaplain at Fort Sill in Oklahoma. Chaplain John Morris, welcome to the show. Glad to have you back with us again.
Yes, thanks, Susie, and good afternoon to all your listeners. I'm so sorry to hear about your brother's death, and we'll pray for Chrissy and children and for you and your family. Tough marathon you've been through.
Indeed. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And so, Chaplain, we love to start our conversations talking scripture, and I know you came armed with a great passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is great for me today, just looking at it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, it's been a life verse for me, Susie, and ironically, I just used it to preach to a group of trainees here at Fort Sill, so it's fresh on my mind. We're the second largest basic training installation in the Army. Thousands and thousands of soldiers are trained here for their initial combat training. And as I shared with them from my heart, you know, joining the Army is all about trust, and following God is no different. We can't always see where we're headed. We don't know why the orders we've been given by people above us have been given, but ours is to execute and make those things happen. And it's the same in our relationship with God. He knows more than we do, and he's revealed enough of himself that he can be trusted, and our privilege and challenge is to take him at his word and to commit our ways to him. Mm-hmm. And same for soldiers. Sometimes we have to pick up our rifles and rucksacks and march in directions we don't understand. But that's where the battle is, and that's where we're needed.
Wow.
And it's the same for Christians. We don't understand why Donnie had pancreatic cancer, but we trust that God knows better and that he will bring out of all this sadness something better for you and your family and something glorious for him.
Indeed. Thank you for that. Wow.
Yeah. So we commit our ways to the Lord, and it says he makes the path straight. It doesn't say he makes them easy and that they're not all downhill with the wind at your back. It simply means they're straight, and I interpret that to mean straight in the will of God, straight in what's best for us, and straight to the doors of heaven.
Wow, so, so good. You know, I studied James 4:7, where it says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I've heard so many times, Chaplain Morris, people quote the second part of that verse, you know, resist the devil and he will flee. But the submit to God part is critical to that passage, and I studied it, and it really means to get back in rank. So really, the enemy has legal access to us when we're out of rank. And when we're out of rank, we need to get back in rank first before we can do any business with the enemy. In that light of that passage, I'd love for you just to speak to what you've learned about the importance of rank in the armed forces, but also as a man of God.
Well, you're using the word rank, and I use the word formation.
Mm-hmm.
In the Army, one of the first things we train our young basic trainees is first how to walk. Literally the first thing that they learn when they get off the bus, they get here at 11 o'clock at night is the Army walks differently than civilians. It's fundamental, but you need to understand how to walk, and that means you have to walk in step. Very basic for the Christian life as well, walking in step with the Holy Spirit guiding you. And the second thing we teach soldiers is Army's a team sport. Nobody goes to war by themselves. It's the same for Christians, and I think that's what's killing our church in America. Individualism. Hey, I don't need a church. Well, you do need to be in a formation. In formation is strength. In formation is support. I hope you're experiencing that, Susie, through your church now. We have to be in a formation or we're vulnerable. When you're out by yourself, you're just not smart enough to outwit the enemy, and you don't know your own weaknesses, so you're going to get attacked. When you're in a formation, there's more support, there's more strength, and there's more motivation. I do much better in my PT program when I run with a group of people than I do by myself. That's why Lifetime Fitness and all the other clubs are popular. Human beings are social beings. That God created us that way, and we need to be with other people to grow in our faith and to be strong.
How long does it take to teach servicemen and women that truth? Because I'm sure some come who are, you know, compliant, and others show up with some rebellious edge and individualism. How long does it take? Is that a loaded question?
Yeah, it is. It's a big one. So my chapel, my office, I look right out the window on the basic trainees, about 5,000 of them here today. How long does it take? Some never learn, and we send them home every day. Not everybody makes it in the Army. This is not a right. This is a privilege to serve in the United States Army. You either adapt to the Army or you go home. Because what we do is so deadly serious, and I mean that literally, that we can't hold hands with people forever. Either you adapt and learn to take orders, trust, work as a team, or you're a threat to us. Some, you know, they have 9 weeks of combat training, and then they go on to their advanced individual training. Some look like they're adapting, and then they get through all their training, and the seams come off, and they rebel when they get to their first unit. So we're reinforcing these values every step of the way. And it takes a while before any human being internalizes habits. Same for young Christians, same for old Christians. Just something as hard and simple as doing a daily devotional can be a struggle our whole lives. It's a discipline. Discipline's never easy. It's habitual. And what we're trying to teach people are habits, both habits of values and habits of character and habits of training that require discipline. And you know that discipline's not a great American value these days.
Indeed. Wow. You're talking Chaplain Morris, I'm thinking of the passage from Hebrews. It says, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves. In other words, don't shrug it off like it's nothing. Don't make light of it, but don't fall apart like you're nothing because you're something. And I feel like those tend to be the two responses. When God puts his finger on something in our lives, we either wave it away, it doesn't apply to me, not now anyway, or we fall apart and say, I'm a total loser. But it takes someone to buck up Buttercup a little bit, right? And take what the Lord has to say. Speak to that, if you would.
Well, in the Army, you know, we have a term you've heard before. Hey, it's not personal, it's professional. Mm. And we do something called an after-action report where we sit a unit down, small size all the way up to a very large size, and we critique it, a 360 critique. From every angle, we critically analyze what they just did. What was good should be sustained. What wasn't good needs to be improved. We name names, we put that out there, and we expect people to take that information and improve their performance. It's not for the faint of heart, but again, what we do is life and death, and we want you to be better or we wouldn't tell you the truth. Unfortunately, sometimes as Christians, we don't want to hear the truth. And of course, Jesus said the truth shall set you free. The only way you can hear the truth or have it spoken into your life is A, be in a formation with people who love you, and B, want to grow. And if you want to grow, that means somebody's going to have to be able to tell you the truth about yourself. When you hear the truth, accept it, surrender to the Lord, submit yourself to him, and ask him for the grace and the support and the help of others to continue to grow. That, there's no secret. That's the way it happens, but it's not personal. It's professional.
But boy, when you rise up to the occasion, when you learn and you're willing to be teachable, and you accomplish sort of a new level of functioning, you feel so proud in a good way, like accomplished, I should say, to say, I'm standing in this place where I never saw myself standing before. That never comes without discipline and humility and teachability. Talking to Chaplain John Morris, when we return, we'll talk more of this parallel of just what military families endure. But truly, there is a parallel to this kingdom walk. Not taking calls, but I do want to hear your questions, so you can call in. Aaron's on the phones today. He'll take your questions and pass them on. 877-933-2484-877-93-FAITH or email me Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with this wonderful wise man, Chaplain John Morris, when we return. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really honored to have you listening today, and I'm especially honored to be talking with Chaplain John Morris. As I mentioned at the opening of the show, every time I talk with him, I want to sit up a little straighter. Really wise, brilliant, humble man of God, and I'm just honored to have him serving in our military. Chaplain Morris, let's get into backstory. We opened the show I really felt like God just led us paralleling service in the military and service to our God and the kingdom military, the kingdom army. Love to know just your backstory, how you decided, how you were led to join the military.
Yeah, Susie, thanks for asking. My father was career military. He served in the Air Force, was an NCO, so that had a very, very pronounced impact on me. My mother is a French immigrant, came to this country at the age of 28. She endured occupation by the German army, and that had a big, big impact on me. Her gratefulness to have been liberated by Americans, and I've stood on the bridge where 12 Americans were killed fighting their way into her village.
Wow.
So I always had a sense of gratitude for being an American, and very early in my life an understanding that this was purchased by somebody else's blood. When I was a seventh grader, we lived by Fitzsimmons Army Hospital. It's 1968. Vietnam was at its height. That hospital was a major receiving area for severely wounded Americans. And I was exposed to 18, 19-year-olds who had been severely wounded in Vietnam. I just knew that, hey, freedom is precious, and I wanted to contribute. So long story short, when I was in seminary at Bethel, right up the road from your studio, joined the Army Reserves as a chaplain candidate in 1984 and never looked back. Every day has been a great day. Some have been a lot better than others, but every one of them has been a privilege to wear the country's uniform and represent Christ to soldiers.
Cannot thank you enough for your service, Chaplain Morris. And I'm wondering, if we interviewed your wife today, what would she say about what this journey's been like for her?
She'd say it's been tough. She'd say that America's military families have paid an inordinate price for America's freedom. This era here of 15 years of deployment after deployment, separation after separation, and we've sent two daughters to war. It's tough. It's a grind. And while the rest of America is symbolically at the mall, there's a few families just paying a huge price, and we don't give them medals. We give the medals to the soldiers, and we don't really even think about the families a lot of times. I mean, collectively, America, the Army certainly does, the Navy, the Marine Corps cherish their families, but that's what she'd tell you if she could be brutally honest.
Yeah. Wow, and Lord forgive us for being at the mall, basically, so to speak, when we're, and you know, and it's out of sight, out of mind, I think, for many, which this is why we're doing this show. It can't be out of sight, nor can the persecuted or our missionaries be out of sight, out of mind. Well, you've heard it said that Americans may be facing war fatigue, and I think as part of that is we're entertaining ourselves to death, which is just inoculating us from the times that we're in. But what does that look like? And give us just maybe unpack that and give us some clear advice for how we should be standing in this day.
Well, you know, we in the military in some ways are similar to police officers and firefighters. You know, we don't expect America to pay attention to everything we're doing. You have the right to expect that we're there when you need us. And so all of our training and all of that is invisible in the sense that it's not part of your everyday attention. And that's totally understandable. But America is at war, and sometimes we lose focus of that. We have men and women with rifles in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Occasionally you hear that they get killed, not in the numbers, thankfully, that were happening a decade ago, but there are still people doing very dangerous things on behalf of this country. And the tragedy in Orlando reminds us that the war is not overseas, it's everywhere. And all I would ask Christians to do is, hey, every day pray for your country because it's being attacked. It's either being attacked through cyberspace or it's being attacked with kinetic energy through bullets and bombs. But believe me, we have enemies, and there's a thin line called your military that stands in defense along with your law enforcement agents to protect our freedom, and there's a spiritual component to that. And prayer is a mighty tool in protecting our nation from within and from without.
Boy, such good advice, Chaplain Morris. I'm thinking of, as I mentioned, we're either entertaining ourselves to death or we're shaking our fist at the darkness, neither of which helps us stand strong. And, you know, I read an article from a pastor who said, you know, I hear Christians calling down judgment on their own country, but don't think for a minute if that judgment comes, it's not going to come near you. I mean, this is when we pray for mercy. This is when we pray for our law enforcement, our firemen, our military men. And yet, are you just marveling that the temperature is cooling around those that we're counting on to protect our freedoms?
Yeah, that's sad, and you know, we go through cycles, unfortunately, where it seems like the culture has a nervous breakdown. But I want to encourage everybody, hey, there's still people swimming across rivers, climbing mountains, and taking dangerous forms of transportation to get to our shore to be free. This is still the land of the free and the home of the brave. Don't give up on that country.
Amen. This is still the land of the free and the home of the brave. You pray you heard what Chaplain Morris just said, that there are people risking their lives, swimming across bodies of water to get here because they still see this as the place to live, because it is still the land of the free and the home of the brave. So how do you pray for our military? Chaplain Morris, how about you? How do you pray for not only the military but for our nation?
Well, first of all, I pray for, just as Paul tells us to do, I pray for all elected leaders that they're beyond corruptibility. They have tremendous forces that work to try to steal their souls just like everybody else. So, you know, I pray that they can't be corrupted. I pray that they have divine wisdom and that they're driven to their knees to seek that wisdom. because the problems that come to them are beyond human wisdom. And I've stood in the corridors of power in the Pentagon and marveled at some of the tremendous burdens our national leaders have because of the complexity of the world we live in. And so that's what I pray for them, for wisdom, for the openness to the power of the Holy Spirit to guide them and be corrupted by the power and the temptations that come their way. And then for our military leaders, I pray in a similar vein, but A, that they're not, particularly the general officers, are not corrupted. You know, we've seen general officers make some tremendous mistakes in very public forums and fall from grace, and so they need prayer. They have a lot of power available to them, and the power and the privilege can corrupt very good human beings. It does it to pastors, and it can do the same to generals. I pray that they have compassion for their soldiers. This is a tough, tough business that we're in, and it's easy to drive soldiers rather than lead soldiers. And so I pray that they have compassion. I pray that they have wisdom. They're given tough orders to execute, complex problem sets that they have to solve, and they need wisdom like everybody else. And I pray for their families. The families of leaders of our military pay tremendous price, rarely sometimes seeing some of their loved ones because of repeated deployments, long hours, training exercises, travel that these generals and senior non-commissioned officers do. So a lot of strain on a very small military, and I'm not sure that America understands how small its military has become. But we're down to size now of an army that we had before World War II. That's a small army, and it's asked to do a lot in dozens and dozens of countries around the world. So a lot going on, and our leaders need a lot of strength to do what they're being asked to do.
Wow. Chaplain Morris, we just got about a minute and a half before our bottom of the hour break. What is some advice, and if you need to carry this answer to the other side, you sure can, mm-hmm. advice for just us at home ministering to military families?
Well, love them and understand that they're invite them to things, and they're tough and they're resilient. They're not generally going to ask civilians for help. So, you know, ask them, what can you do to be of practical help to them with dignity and not taking away their resilience? But, hey, do you have a child that you want to send to camp this summer? Can we take your child with our child? Do you need help with house care chores? Do you need help with getting groceries and things like that, particularly if they're soldier, sailor, airman, or marine are deployed? If they're not deployed, hey, would you like to come to a marriage seminar we're doing? Every marriage could use tune-up. How can we pray intelligently for you? What is it that we can do to help you with the challenges that you face? Those kind of things asked with tact and grace are generally well received.
So good. Talking to Chaplain John Morris today about his life in the military, about how we can pray for our soldiers, their families, how we pray for our nation, and even drawing some parallels between what it means to stand in faith, to stand in battle, to march in formation in the kingdom of God. Again, we've got get some books, not off of our Faith Radio shelf, so not connected to Chaplain John Morris. But if you've got a question, call in, and Aaron will pass it on to me, 877-933-2484. That is a toll-free call, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Chaplain John Morris when we return. You're having a great day today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to Chaplain John Morris today about the life of a military officer, of their families, how to pray for them, even how to see a parallel between our military servicemen and women and us as kingdom people marching in step with the Lord. And, you know, Chaplain Morris, you said that the Army now is down to the size you said it was before, since World War II, the size of the Army that we had before World War II. Is that right?
That's right. But, Susie, let me correct your introduction. It's an honor to talk to you. You're at the microphone exercising one of the most precious freedoms we have, and that is broadcasting and the sending the gospel out over the airwaves, which has been a powerful, powerful tool of the church. So God bless you. You're at the cutting edge, so it's an honor for me.
Wow.
But yes, we are a very small army. As when I joined the army, it was a million. There were a million people in the army. We had 500,000 in Western Europe, if you could imagine. We're down to about 25,000 in Western Europe. While we see the Russian bear taking over Crimea and pressuring the Ukraine and deploying into Syria, so the tables turned. Very small, lean army. We have about 350,000 in the Army National Guard, about 500,000 active Army every day wearing the uniform like that we do at Fort Sill, and then 185,000 in the Army Reserve. You put all that together, and that is a small, small American Army. Now, traditionally, America has not wanted large standing armies. Our ancestors who designed the Constitution really were afraid of large armies. They'd had bad experiences in Europe. And so they wanted militias that could be rapidly assembled, but not a large army that could overthrow the government. So we go through cycles of building the army to a large size for war and then scaling it down when the wars are over. Well, we're in a scaled-down mode right now. Trying to get as lean and mean as we can to use the taxpayers' dollars as efficiently as possible, but poised to grow if we have to meet the threats around us, and there are plenty of threats to meet.
Hmm. How do you keep morale up if you know, the numbers are low, the problems are big? How do you keep morale up to those who are fully engaged?
Well, you know, I would tell you this. I don't see where I'm at morale as a problem. We attract some great young Americans, and you're sending us the best. Only 27% of America qualifies to serve in today's military. So of the 18 to 24-year-olds in America, most can't meet the physical, mental health requirements that we have. So 27% can meet those. They've graduated from high school. They're physically fit. You know, they're not on medications that would bar them from enlisting. And generally, and I see thousands of them every weekend that come through our chapels. You know, they're great young Americans like generations before them. They want to improve themselves. They want to get a college education. Most of them are motivated by patriotism. They want to serve the country. Throughout the ranks, it's an all-volunteer army. People generally want to be here. They want to train hard. They want to do a good job, and they're proud to wear an American flag on their right shoulder and represent the country. So we know we have challenges, and we know we have to face those and deal with them and be as resourceful as possible. What I find is we lean into the challenges and we draw strength from attacking those. Not a lot of time spent wringing our hands and grumbling. Just let's get at it and let's figure out how we get it done. Generations before us have done that, and we'll do it too. It's our sacred duty.
I love that attitude. And, you know, even if you're somebody listening who's in athletics, it is. It's the difference between looking left to right to keeping your eye on the prize and hunkering down and focusing in and going. And there isn't time. I mean, really, even I would imagine what you tell yourself totally impacts how you show up from day to day.
Well, for me as a Christian, it's about starting the day in prayer, opening the Word and asking God to make appointments for me that He wants me to fulfill throughout that day. Again, I told you every day in the Army has been great. Some have just been greater than others. Challenge is a part of Army life. Hardship is a part of Army life. It was Paul who said, endure suffering like a good soldier. If you join the Army and you think it's going to be easy, you missed your choices. There was something else you should have been doing. It's supposed to be hard. That's why they call it service. It's not about us. It's about giving America what America needs, and that's defense. And so we do that, and we expect it's going to be challenging, and we make the best of it.
Well, and I think I probably know what you're going to say here because, I mean, you do keep your eye upward and onward. But when you look at the speed with which things have changed in our culture, and you've been in the service for a very long time, has the recent kind of cultural transformation jarred you at all, or do you just continue to just keep telling yourself, I need to do my duty, I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep marching?
Well, sure, I'm as surprised as anybody else at how quick the culture's seemingly turned to abandon some pretty cherished values. Okay, it happened. Now I can sit in the corner and pout and withdraw and be no effect as salt, or I can wade right into the middle of this thing and be who I am called to be. a Christian chaplain in the United States Army. We're all Americans, and I'll respect people's rights, and I'll uphold the Constitution and obey all lawful orders. At the same time, I'll use the freedoms given to me to share the good news of the gospel, and I get to do that every day, and it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate the freedoms that allow me to do that.
Excellent. So a couple, kind of a twofold question here. I received an email from a listener saying that his particular chaplain was not a good example at all, kind of gave some examples. He asked, you know, what about that? And then on the flip side, Chaplain Morris, you hear stories and read stories of servicemen and even chaplains who are disciplined for speaking in the name of Jesus. So on one hand, I mean, I guess you can't really control the fact that some are going to live out the example as a chaplain as they should and others not. But on the other hand, how are you navigating even the spiritual climate that we're seeing in the culture?
Well, here's what I would say. Not all pastors are of equal quality. Does that make sense?
Correct, yes.
So chaplains are the same. They vary in quality. Some are outstanding. Some are very marginal. Most are in between, kind of like human beings. What I have found is the chaplains that run into trouble forget that they're in the military, and they're more pastor than they are soldier. When you join the military, you agree to be both. It takes two wings to fly the airplane. You better be good at both. Physically fit, understand the Army culture, adhere to its values, as well as a professional member of the clergy. So the guys that I've seen that were disciplined were generally disciplined for being poor soldiers, not for their statements of faith. What I always tell young chaplains that I mentor, be winsome as you win some. Know your audience. There are times to proclaim the gospel. And there are times when you realize, hey, there are people in front of me who are ordered to be here. And I've been asked to do a benediction for a change of command ceremony. This is not a Billy Graham crusade. This is an opportunity to ask a blessing on people at the end of a ceremony. Know what your purpose is when you are free to proclaim the gospel and when this is a civic and civil religion exercise. That takes some maturity and some nuance. Pray according to the endorsing body that sent you to the Army, but make sure you look sharp in your uniform and you've met all the standards of a soldier. Now, that's a lot of talk, and it's complex work, but we're professionals, and we need to learn how to do that.
Well, I think that applies to life in the marketplace. My husband works in the marketplace, but he's also a man of faith, and he always says, you know, if I show up and I'm excellent at my job, that allows me some freedom and grace. People want to hear what I have to say in other aspects of my life if I'm showing up on time and doing excellent work. I think across the board, you have more credibility and grace to speak if you're showing up that way, don't you?
There you go, Susie. I always tell my chaplains, hey, if you are out with your soldiers at the point of greatest need, commanders will always value you. If you, on a day like today at Fort Sill, where it's 95 with about 80% humidity, are sucking up air conditioning while everybody else is out in the field sweating, you should expect to be disciplined. Jesus wants you out where people need you, not hiding in your office. You go out with them to do physical training at 6 o'clock in the morning. You're out with them throughout the day. You'll have plenty of opportunities to share the gospel. They will come to you. If you hide back in the rear and wait for them to come to you, you're going to have some challenges.
So good. This listener writes, could he speak, this is kind of along the lines of what we were talking about, but she gives a specific example here. Could he speak to the issue of political correctness, of not using the name of Jesus or God? Heard yesterday about an officer that was folding the flag over a casket using God's name, which is what is normal, and yet he was carried out of the room. Could that be one of those times where this chaplain was invited to do a civic duty and they weren't proclaiming faith as a family? And or what would you say?
Yeah, again, I would say, and Susie, please don't take this wrong. Remember, when dog bites man, it's not a story. When man bites dog, it's a story. I think the media has taken some of these instances, which I'm not sure always existed, and maybe put it in a way that like looks like it's religion versus the Department of Defense. I just haven't seen that in my Army experience. I have seen, however, chaplains misuse their opportunities. You know, when you hear a chaplain give a 10-minute benediction that sounds more like a sermon than a prayer, something's wrong here. I've worked with a lot of commanders that were very open. They had no use for chaplains or religion, but they appreciated chaplains taking care of their soldiers. And when it came time to pray, they weren't hung up on how I prayed because they knew how much I cared. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, totally. And doesn't, you know, Jesus says things are proven right by their fruit. And if they're seeing fruit come out of what you do and the way that you serve and march with these guys and these gals, the fruit will speak for itself, won't it?
You bet. You know, and I'll give you an example here at Fort Sill. We do, spiritual resiliency events. And, you know, we'll have soldiers come early in the morning to a breakfast or to a lunch. That's a great opportunity to openly share the gospel. Nobody faults you for doing that. That's your lane. That's what you were commissioned to do. Now, if I take advantage of a command and staff meeting where commanders have to be there and I'm asked to give an opening word and I turn that into a 15-minute altar call, I've forgotten where I am and what my purpose is at that moment. Does that make sense?
Very, very much. Really appreciate that. Wow. Did you have more to say about that?
No, sometimes our younger chaplains, I think, cross those two lanes because they want to force something instead of, hey, let the Holy Spirit lead you. There'll be plenty of opportunities to share the gospel, and there's times for you to fully publicly proclaim the gospel, and there are times where you're in a role here at a specific point in time when you got to take in consideration you've got Jews, Muslims, atheists, Wiccans, and all kinds of people who are forced to listen to you. Probably not the best adult learning environment for you to start expounding on a gospel passage.
And don't you think, again, I mean, I'm seeing the application here to those of us who are not in the armed forces, that we are in a postmodern culture. So to assume everybody wants to hear the way we've always preached at our evangelism, you know, or Romans Road or whatever it is, I feel like we have to be led by the Spirit. And each situation is different because each person is different. And so there is not this one size fits all. I mean, that's something I just feel really strongly about. We need to love people, care for them, walk with them, follow God's lead. And as someone once said, people won't really care what you know until they know how much you care. Talking to Chaplain John Morris, and when we come back, I'm going to ask him about how he has seen God's intervention, his direction, his protection throughout his military career. Because God is on the move amidst the military. He is. We're going to hear some stories on the other side.
There's a day that's drawing. When this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eye.
Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Again, honored to be talking with Chaplain John Morris. And we like to bring him on every once in a while to remind all of us to be praying for our military, to pray for our nation, as Chaplain Morris said, to even pray for our political leaders, that they would be incorruptible, that God would move them to call on his wisdom, because that's what he needs, that's what they need, I should say, that's what we need, and may God have mercy on us. And Chaplain Morris, would love to know how you've seen God's intervention, his direction, protection throughout your military career. And I got to tell you, we do, I mean, I do pray for the military on a regular basis and for their families. And one day I was praying, God, just very specifically, God, move like wildfire through our servicemen and women. Move like wildfire through those who've never heard your name. And I ran into an old friend I hadn't seen in about 20 years, and she'd said that her son had joined the military. And I said, oh, how can I be praying for him? She goes, well, you wouldn't believe it. She said, faith is moving like wildfire. She said the exact words I've been praying. She said, there are so many kids who didn't get faith at home, taught at home, but when nobody's more open to faith than those who are on the battle line in the trenches of a battle. And she said, those, my son and others like him who are raised in Christian homes are sharing their faith, and it's spreading like wildfire. I can't even tell you. My fist went in the air. I was like, God is moving amongst our military. Love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, Susie, I wish you could be here on Sunday morning during our contemporary service. But 600 to 800, sometimes 1,000 young basic trainees are here. And there's a huddle off in the corner of about 8 young basic trainees who are on their knees praying.
Hmm.
I didn't tell them to do that. Young Christians come into the Army and they just find themselves surrounded by people who are hungry because they're under duress and they're looking for ways to cope. And these young Christians just get to share what's their greatest passion, their Savior. they probably reach more soldiers than chaplains do. So basic training is a place where a lot of people get exposed to the gospel. And we do, the chaplains here probably do, you know, 10 to 20 baptisms a Sunday of new believers and recommitments and more as the summer goes on because our numbers get larger in basic training. So, yes, in the marketplace of faith and ideas, you know, the Army is an environment where ideas get transferred and the gospel goes forth.
Talk about just in your career, as you looked back over your shoulder, Chaplain Morris, about just the way you've seen God move, stories maybe you've heard of God intervening in situations where you knew it was his hand.
Well, you know, I'm just talking about my personal experience. I've had, and this happens on an almost daily basis, but sometimes I've had dramatic God appointments where I turn a corner and there's a soldier. We weren't planning on meeting up with each other, and it's one of those times where God is speaking directly to that soldier's need. I'll give you a simple example that happens pretty common, and then a more extraordinary one that happened in combat. The other day, we just opened a Starbucks here on Fort Sill. That's an answer to prayer. And I was there at 7:45 in the morning. Two young recruiters came in. Recruiters wear a badge, and you know who they are. And I said, "Hey, I'm going to buy you two coffee. You got the toughest job in the Army." And you know, they were just stunned. And I said, "Come on, sit down. Let's have coffee together." We talked about what they were there for, and I just knew God wanted me to speak to them because they have a very tough job. We're competing to get that 27% of qualified Americans to join. These guys have an unrelenting mission. It's hard on their families. They put in long hours. They have to produce recruits for the Army. And I talked to them about that. "Hey, what's it like for you? How's this?" And one of the young guys is just real open. "Hey, sir, you know, my marriage is really suffering. My wife doesn't understand this." Well, it was an opportunity. "Hey, look, you need the Lord. This is what God can do to help you. Let me pray for you right now." Laid hands on these guys. How cool is that? That's God opening a door. That's not me having to harangue anybody. It's right there in a Starbucks. And these guys at the end were like, "Hey, sir, just can't thank you enough for, you know, taking time with us." No. "Thank you for allowing me to have time with you guys. You're my heroes. You know, you're doing tough work." Mm. Well, they don't hear stuff like that. You know, they're out there every day in the malls and the high schools trying to get America's young people to join the military, and they experience more rejection than they have success. And so to breathe life into them was really a privilege. Mm-hmm. I had an experience in Iraq in 2004. I had just come out of the first big battle in Fallujah. I was, you know, to say the least, a little bit war-weary after a lot of mayhem and death. And I was in a gigantic dining facility at Camp Victory, and I saw a young soldier with a Bible under his arm. And I said, "Hey, can we talk about that?" And we went outside, you know, 110 degrees. There's combat vehicles going all over the place, helicopters overhead. And I said, "Where'd you get the Bible?" And he said, "Sir, I got it at chapel this morning." When you go to chapel for the first time, they give you a Bible. And I said, "Wow, what led you to chapel?" And he said, "Well, I called my wife late last night, and I found out she's going to have a baby." And I said, "Well, that's exciting." And he said, "Sir, it's not." And I was stunned. "You know, what do you mean it's not exciting?" He said, "Well, sir, the life I've been living, I'm not the father that that child needs me to be. And I went to chapel to find out how to become a better man." Wow. You know, I'm not assigned to that combat outpost. I'm not his chaplain. What are the chances that he and I meet in a chow hall? So I said, "Hey, look, God sent me literally thousands of miles to be here today to talk to you." And we stood there for well over 2 hours as he poured out his soul, as we prayed together. And, you know, I got ready to leave, and I said, "Look, it's dangerous out here. I'm going to take my cross off my dog tags here. I'm going to give it to you as a visible reminder that we met. This is not a figment of your imagination. The devil's going to tell you that this didn't happen. It happened. I was here. You recommitted your life to Christ. It's real. I'm probably not going to see you till we meet in heaven. And I need you to remember what we talked about here today so that we're standing together in formation when we're in heaven." We parted ways. That's God. Only God can do stuff that big. And I've had that type of experience all around the world. It's been a privilege.
Well, as I listen to you, I feel, Chaplain Morris, we can do that here. I mean, I love that you're doing that there. We need to pray for our chaplains and pray for our believers in the military that God would divinely appoint them to meet with people who need them. But, man, may we be as engaged and as listening to the Lord so that we can talk to somebody in Starbucks to say, what's your life like? I mean, what's your biggest struggle? I mean, imagine what God would do through us if we made ourselves available as you do.
Well, I'm not a perfect human being. I certainly don't want to give that impression. But I was saved by the blood of Christ, and I know that to the core of my being. And so I have a debt to repay. And it's an honor for me to share with others what Christ has done in my life. My only remorse is I can't do it more. I'm timid as well as everybody else. I want to be popular and accepted and not embarrassed. So I have all the hang-ups everybody else has, but I can't not want to share the gospel. So I start every day with, Lord, you know, use me and help me show up at the appointments that you've already set. And I don't force my way. He just opens doors.
Boy, just got about a minute and a half here before we pray, and this has been so, so good. Wondering, what is the impact when we see military in airports and stores and Starbucks, and we go up to them and say, thank you for serving in our country. Does that make a difference to them?
Well, boy, that's a mixed bag, and we could do a whole show on that. Sometimes it doesn't come off as very authentic. We know people mean well, but we also wonder, hey, is that just a throwaway line now? You know, you want us to do the work, but you're not willing to do some of it yourself. I think myself, I appreciate it, but I always defer that and I say, hey, I'll take that on behalf of the guy in Afghanistan or the woman in Iraq here today. I'm just doing my job. You know, please keep paying your taxes so we can defend you. But it might be more helpful, I think, and maybe a little more daring to go up and say, hey, how can I pray for you? You're doing a tough job on behalf of the nation.
Excellent.
And I want to do something that matters. Tell me how to pray for you. That might jolt us out of our being wary of people saying thank you but not really putting much substance behind it.
Excellent advice. And buy their groceries or their Starbucks while we're at it, you know? Wow. This has been so, so, so good. Way too much time has passed between the last time to now. I pray you'll come back sooner next time. But Chaplain Morris, wondering if you would pray for this nation, though I feel like we should be praying for you. But would you do us the honor of praying for that we would live in a manner worthy of his name?
My Heavenly Father, I want to pray for Susie and her family as they walk through the shadow of the valley of death and lift her up today and Chrissy and their children. And we do pray for our beloved country and particularly for the men and women who are defending her far from home and for their families who wait just in agonizing trial here waiting for their loved one to come back. We do pray for strong protection for our country from within and without. We pray for our leaders for wisdom. Save them from corruption. Give our generals and our admirals the desire to seek you and the humbleness to ask for your guidance. We pray that the freedom that's been purchased for us would be preserved and that we wouldn't squander it in debauchery and license. But that we would use our freedom to serve the poor and the hungry and the lost. And I pray for your church that you would awaken her, bring her back to prayer, bring us from individualism back into formation, from worshiping in our living rooms to worshiping in sanctuaries with other Christians, and then organizing for outreach to the world around us. Lord, thank you for America, the United States of America. Amen.
Chaplain Morris, always an honor to talk with you. Thank you for this. Thank you for your service. I really mean that. And thank you for your time today.
And God bless.
And you. Wow. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm choked up. Sorry. You'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Let's be those kingdom people, okay? Let's be those kingdom people. Coming up next, you'll hear my conversation with John Eldridge about moving mountains in prayer. Another great hour up ahead. So glad you're listening today. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.